just looked up today.
What you're listening to here is a song called All You've Ever Wanted. The band is called Casting Crowns. It's a real good band. Their songs I like the most because they're theologically packed. They're gospel-centered. They present a gospel message in just about every song that they make. But what he's talking about here in this song is really good. It's talking about our own righteousness before God and how God sees our righteousness as dirt. All He wants us to do is give Him our hearts. And so that's what he's saying here in this song. So listen closely to these lyrics because they're really, really, really deep. Really deep. Make it back to you.
But all my deeds and my good name are just dirty rags that tear and strain to cover all my guilty stains that you already washed away. Cause all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted was mine. My chains have all been broken. Relentless love has caught me from the start. And all you wanted was my heart.
See, all he's saying here, he's kind of doing a lament. You know, he's like, you know, I've been trying to do good things, but all you wanted was my heart. Now, I know what you're thinking. You know, the general umbrella of Christianity today in America is, well, you can't be an American patriotic person without being a Christian first, right? I've given my heart to Jesus when I was 6 years old, so I'm good to go. I'm saved. Well, that's not what it's about. Jesus says, where a man's treasure will be, there his heart will be found also. So that means he's got us, our affections, our desires, our ambitions, our dreams. You know, all of that belongs to Him. We become a living and holy sacrifice for Him. We live to glorify Him and give Him all the honor. Another thing we're missing in our society today, we're not a high honor society. But anyway, we're going to be going over a bare bones gospel today, so stick with me. I'm probably going to present this in a way where you've probably never heard the gospel presented this way. And a lot of times, with a lot of people nowadays, a lot of people don't even understand the true gospel. So we're going to be going over that today, so stick with us. We'll finish out the song here.
All you've ever wanted was my heart. Freedom's on the road here. My chains have all been broken. Relentless love has called me from the start. And all you wanted was my heart.
So I'm going to be going over the gospel today. The gospel, as you may already know, represents the good news. How can it be good news without bad news, right? The bad news. Let's start with that first. Go to Exodus 20 in your Bible if you have it with you. It's the law. It's the Ten Commandments. It's what God gave us as a representation of His perfect and holy nature. The Ten Commandments is not holy in itself. It's not that, you know, God is the Ten Commandments. It's that God created the Ten Commandments to show us our sin. It's a mirror of perfection. We can't meet perfection. That's the whole point. He gave it to us so that we can be confronted with His holiness and His perfection. So that leads us to our guilt. We've all told a lie. Big or small, it don't matter. It's not the sin, it's who you've sinned against. Keep that in mind as we go through this list here. You know, the Ten Commandments consist of, you've all heard them before, you shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. These are really short. If you go back into Exodus 20, it's a really long, lengthy statement. Each and every commandment that he gives, there's an attachment to each and every one of them. But stealing, that's one of them. You know, I've never stolen before. Well, you may have stolen just a little pencil from your teacher. Or, you know, I know that it seems like it's splitting hairs, but what I'm trying to show you here is God searches the heart. He judges and weighs the heart, the motives. He doesn't look at what you do, per se. He looks at why you do it. What was the motivation behind it? So if he's looking at that, we're all going to be found guilty. You know, Paul said a really good thing. He said, I did not come to know what sin is, but by the law. The law was what found me guilty. In Romans 3:23, it says, there are none that are good. There's none that do good. No, not one. We're all guilty. All have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what he says in Romans 3:23. We're all guilty. We all deserve God's judgment. He judges sin. A way that I like to portray it is he's like a judge. You go into a court today, you're guilty. You've been found guilty of all these crimes. And they've been keeping record of all these lawless deeds that you've done each and every time that you've done them. Just think about how many lies that you've told. God is keeping count. Think about all the times that you've lusted after a woman. You know, I know that you said that says, well, you shall not commit adultery. Well, it actually, Jesus said, you've heard it said of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say, whosoever looks upon a woman with lust has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You're already guilty. You see what he's saying here is, look, I'm perfect. You're not. That's why I'm here. Okay, that's the good news, but I'm sticking to the bad news. That's what God's going to do. He's going to judge us all on the grade of perfection. He's not going to grade on a curve. He's not going to appoint us a slick lawyer to try to lower the punishment. You know, Catholics believe in a purgatory that doesn't exist. It's heaven or hell. It's black and white. God has always been black and white. But we live in a society today of gray. You know, there's a gray area. You know, that's where people want to file in and say, well, God's forgiving, right? He sent Jesus, right? Yes, he did. But here's the thing. If you go before a judge and you say, well, judge, I've done all these good things. You know, I've held the door for old ladies, helped them across the street. You know, I helped a guy change his flat tire on the side of the road. You know, just 3 days ago, you know, he did, and he wanted to pay me. I didn't even take his payment. And that judge would say, well, that's excellent. That's great. But you're still guilty. I must punish lawlessness. But you see, Jesus came. What a lot of people have missed in the gospel is that Jesus was not just some good man with good morals, with good teachings that we could follow. But he was God incarnate. He was God in flesh, the second person of the Trinity. One God, three distinct persons. Not three different gods. One God, three distinct persons. But you see, Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus became our sin. He was our sin. It's the great injustice in the universe. The just for the unjust. He was placed on the cross for us. He became sin for us. It's called propitiation. If you're not familiar with that word, it's basically the same meaning as substitution. He was our great substitute, the spotless and perfect lamb. He lived a sinless life. Therefore, we must submit to him. And we can only go through Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross for us. Only through him can we gain access to the Father. Okay? If that makes sense. That's God's plan. Every other religion, in a short detail, will tell you, look, you're going to be searching and groping and trying to please your God, but the real true God here is holy and perfect. And he has redeemed us by himself for his own glory. You see, for his own glory. He reconciled us to himself so that he can get the glory and the credit. God's a jealous God. He's jealous for our affections. He doesn't need our praise and our worship. He is just worthy of our praise and our worship. That's true Christianity. So therefore, when you submit to Christ, you repent. Mark 1:15 says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is a key point to salvation. You turn away from your sin. You die to yourself. You crucify your own flesh with Christ on the cross. Therefore, dying to the law. It's a requirement. The wages of sin is death. So therefore, you have deserved death upon yourself. So you die to yourself. That's the portrait of baptism. You're buried in Christ, raised to walk in a newness of life. I hope that makes sense to you now. You die to yourself. You have crucified, insert your name in this blank here. You have crucified blank to the cross with Christ. You're raised to walk in his likeness. Therefore, on the day of judgment, God will find you guiltless and blameless on that day. Okay, that's redemption. Redemption means bought with a price, cashed in, paid for, paid in full. It's a big meaning here. You don't need to undermine your sin and how much gravity there is in your sin, even the smallest things, because it's not the sin itself, it's who you have sinned against. Okay? An illustration I like to use is if I sinned against my wife by lying to her, and I lied to her about going somewhere I didn't need to go, maybe a strip joint or all the way to, you know, just the movies by myself without her, if I lied to her, there is a certain penalty that I must pay with her. But here's the thing, it's totally different if I did the same kind of lying to the President of the United States. You know? It's totally different. We're talking about the God, Creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth. He's the one we have lied, stolen, committed adultery against, lusted against after his own creation. You know, these are big things that you need to place in your mind and dwell on. That's our redemption. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then you will bear fruit in righteousness, if that makes any sense. So what you're going to be doing is, if you're truly regenerated, truly saved, the evidence will point to your salvation. Because you will begin to bear fruit like Christ. You will begin to seek righteousness that you used to hate. You know, the uncomfortable righteousness that you used to hate now becomes what you want to cling to. In the old ways of the world that you used to love, you will slowly become to hate. It's not an overnight thing. You'll see the evidence as you walk through life. But it's not a license to sin. Please understand that. It's not a license to sin, because a lot of people have abused it that way. It's not a license to sin. Now, will we make mistakes? Yes, but don't confuse a mistake with a sin. Don't willfully go out and just fill your life and wallow in sin. This is evidence pointing towards an unregenerate person. You know, people that just go and they're shoved down the aisle at church and forced to sign a piece of paper and repeat a prayer. Listen, a prayer doesn't save you. It's God's Holy Spirit convicting you under sin, leading you to repentance, and trusting in Christ as your Savior. Being broken over sin. You're just broken over your sin because you've offended your Creator. So do that today if you haven't already. We'll be getting into some really good stuff later on. Stick with the podcast. I wanted to dedicate this first podcast to the presentation of the gospel. But that's just a bare bones gospel. That has no meat in it. That's just the bare bones. But if you dive into the Bible and read, like the Gospel of John, for instance, and you read it slowly, man, you'll come to understand that it's huge. It's huge. God's plan is huge. And nobody can match up to that. So stick with us. I'll be creating another podcast as we go throughout the week. And I hope that you enjoyed this today. And always remember, you can always share the good news with somebody else. And be sure to do that. Find the place and the time to do that with someone today. God bless you. Have a good day.
Freedom's on the road there. My chains have all been broken.